Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Welcome to Beit Gan Eden. Thank you for all those watching online. We trust you have a wonderful Shabbat. And tomorrow we'll be doing the drash. We had a call came in from Sean yesterday saying that he was recovering and not from sore throats and such things. So we're doing Parashah 18, Mishpatim. Brilliant instructions on how to run a society. And you just look at the difference between what we're doing in around the world at the moment and what it says in Torah. So tomorrow we'll be doing the drash. It's all prepared and ready to go. So I think, if you like, we shall sing Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shabbat, Shabbat Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. 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 Od Avinu Chai. Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu, Od Avinu, Od Avinu Chai.
Kol ha'aretz. ladonai barchu shemo Bifru miyom leyom Yeshua tov Shiru ladonai shir chadash Shiru ladonai shir chadash Shiru ladonai kol ha'aretz Adonai shir chadash Shiru l'Adonai kol ha'aretz Shiru l'Adonai baruch shemo Bifru miyom leyom Yeshuato Shiru l'Adonai shir chadash
Sing to the Lord Sing a new song. Oh, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, sing a new song. Bless His name and proclaim from day to day His salvation.
Shiru l'Adonai. Shiru l'Adonai kol ha'aretz Shiru l'Adonai shir chadash Oh Shiru l'Adonai kol ha'aretz Shiru l'Adonai baruch shemo Bifru miyom leyom Yeshuato Shiru l'Adonai shir chadash Shiru l'Adonai baruch shemo Bifru miyom leyom Yeshuato Shiru l'Adonai shir chadash Shiru l'Adonai shir chadash Shir
Across the land, and everything that's proud and lofty will bow down before the throne. from the shade, shelter from the pouring rain. When the Lord has washed away, to the blood of the Messiah.
Brothers, we dwell together. Can you
Yahweh, Adonai Elohecha, b'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol me'udecha, v'yahweh, Adonai Elohecha, b'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol me'udecha. With all of your soul and with all of your mind,
and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength.
You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two commandments and the whole law, love your neighbor, love your God. Adonai Elohecha, b'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol me'udecha.
For Yehovah is one, and there is one mediator between Yehovah and humanity, Yeshua the Messiah, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom on behalf of us all, thus providing testimony at Yehovah's purpose at just the right time. So let's declare our unity in him by singing the Shema.
Shema Israel, Yehovah Elohim. Yehovah Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Le'olam Vayed.
Hear, O Israel, Yehovah El Elohim, Yehovah is one. Blessed be his name. His glorious kingdom is forever and ever. Amen. Vayahavta et Yehovah Elohecha, b'kol lavavcha uv'kol nafshecha uv'kol me'odecha.
And you shall love Yehovah your Elohim
with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And Yeshua said, love your neighbor as yourself. All the Torah and the prophets are dependent on these two mitzvot. Yehovah, Yeshua Mashiach, Yeshua the Messiah, he is Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Well, welcome everyone. Can you lower that for me, please, honey? Thank you. I'll be seated too. And it's lovely to have Tashab and Hannah and Joshi in the room today. It's absolutely awesome. Of course, Jackie and Jod are with us as well. We couldn't run the congregation and the services without them. I'd also like to welcome all those watching live stream, our wonderful family who are usually present in the room, to Minister Sean, Vanessa, Reuben, Hannah and Heather. And Sean, get well quickly. Welcome to Raquel and Yarek. I was going to say Shab Hannah, but they're here. So it's awesome. We're blessed. But please keep Shab in your prayers. Also welcome to Angel, Philip, Elisheva and Gidget, of course. We can't forget Gidget. Welcome to Ronnie and to Yoli, Andre, Shirley, Matthew and Leah. And to our faithful family overseas, we've got Kathy in California, Minister Elisheva in Trinidad, Tobago, to Brenda and Kevin in Pilgrim, Kentucky, Victoria in Qatar, to Kathleen in Kentucky, and also to Michael, Melinda and Michael Jr. in Florida. In Australia, welcome to Heather in Perth. To those watching in South Australia, welcome to Annette, Chris, Michael, Diana and family, Jan, Betty and Stephen in Adelaide. To Katrina watching in Port Pirie. To Linda and Leah and family in Bega, to Jan in Sydney, also to Kerry and David in Tamworth, to Deborah in Casino, to Irie, Rachel, Malachi, Micah, Gabrielle and Zambia in Benalbo. In Queensland we've got Roseanne, Bonnie and Rafia, also Emma in Gladstone, Stacey in Gatton, Judith in Ipswich, Joanna at Sandstone Point, Hinani in Sandor in Fernvale, Cheryl and Colin in Maidenwell, to Vivian, Diane and Daniel at Scarborough. Welcome to Melody in Sandgate, to Joe, Lonya, Yola, Yamina and Ella at Kalanga, Carol and Nick in Brisbane, Harry in Brisbane, Philip in Brisbane, Haley in Brisbane, Ingrid in Brisbane, to Usha, Isabel, Angie and Jacob in Brisbane, Jeremy in Brisbane, Richard on Russell Island, to Don Canubia, Kelly in Bean Lee, Wendy and Peter in Logan, also to Shana and Michaela in Jimboomba, to Tracy in Upper Coomera, to Dale, Rona, Shana, David, Isaac, Connor, Faith and Gabriella at Coomera, Naomi at Oxenford, Irene at Talai, Melissa at Service Paradise, Jeff at Service Paradise, Mary Ann, Faye, Carol, Erica, Joy, Lisa, Raywin here on the Gold Coast, and I don't think I've missed anyone. I hope I haven't. So welcome to each and every one of you, and we hope you have an enjoyable Shabbat. So if we could have the children, please, because we've got Joshi and Hannah here. We'll bless the children. Come over here. Isn't it great to have children in the room? They changed the cameras again, though. Put it on the children, please.
I know.
Come on, Joshi. Don't you hide, my darling. And also to all of you children out there on live stream, I'm sure your parents have got their arms around you, and we'll pray for you as well. So let us pray. Abba Father, we thank you and praise you for our children. We pray that you'll make the boys like Ephraim and Menashe, that you'll give them the dew from heaven, the richness of this earth, and everything they need in abundance. We lift up the girls to you, Abba, and pray that you'll make them like Sarah, Rivka, Raquel, and Leah, that they'll be blessed in every area of their lives. They'll delight on your Torah and meditate on it day and night. Abba, we pray that each and every one of these children become like trees planted by streams. They will bear their fruit in its season, their leaves will never wither, and everything they do will lead to success. Let us pray together. Heavenly Abba, preserve these children for their fathers and their mothers. May they be led into a life of obedience and faith through the care of Ahasuerus HaKim. Blessed are you, Yar of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, who watches over these precious children of your servants. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Bless your children. Okay. Well, the next family dinner at this stage will be on the 25th of February. But we'll wait until then and find out how everything's going with all the illnesses and the COVID and all the things that are happening around the place, and we'll make our decision then what happens. The men's monthly dinner, is that coming on February the 8th? Second Tuesday?
Has to go to a Thursday.
That's February the 10th. Okay, at 6:45. All right, Malachi will keep you posted on that. And also the ladies' next morning tea at this stage will be February the 17th. Okay, that'll be a Thursday morning, and that'll be held here. And ladies, you won't need to bring anything but yourselves, and I will provide the rest. Now, I've had contact from Pastor John this week, and on the 29th of December, a big war happened in Pastor John's native village. So when they left where they are and went to the native village earlier last year, because they were in trouble where they are, now that village where they went to has been attacked, homes have been burnt down. The father and grandmother of the orphans, cook and teacher, was killed, and many victims were burnt and their homes were burnt. Many civilians were killed in that village. And it's a Christian village, and they are targeting pastors and persecuting them. Pastor John's father was taken captive for 2 days, but praise Yah, he was released. Now, there are 65 people from that village, mainly family members from both Pastor John and his wife on both sides of the family, but they are now living with them, with the 17 orphans, and as they fled their village, most of their homes have been destroyed, and of course they need to be able to not just feed their orphans now, but the 65 other people that are living with them. How they're doing, all these people in one home, I'm not too sure. So we need to pray for them, that they will get proper food, and pray for their safety. And Pastor John wants us to pray for peace and reconciliation in his country. Now, the children over there have not gone to school for 2 years. They've been 2 years without schooling now, so just imagine what's that like on their education. They're no longer allowed to worship on Shabbat or Sunday worship, because if they're caught worshipping, then they could be jailed. They are terrified with the war that's on. They are under complete strict curfews. And Pastor John says that the sound, every day, the war, the sound of the bombs, the artillery and machine gun is going day and night around them. So life in Myanmar is very dangerous. We might be closed down because of COVID, but their situation is much worse. So I'm looking at maybe sending money this week to them, but what I want to do is I want to be able to, seeing we haven't met for the last month, I want to put all that money that we would normally pay for our rent and send that to them on top of what else that we can afford to send. Because they need to, they've got to feed the 65 plus whoever's living in the house of 17, 21, 30 people. They've got about 95 to 100 people living in the home at the moment, including all the helpers and stuff that they've always had. So that's a lot of mouths to feed. And I know they can't depend on us to do all of it, but we have to pray that they will get other support as well, because we are only a very small community and we can't give them all that they need, but we can give them the best we can. And so we just praise Yah that they are together, they are safe, and they are all family, whether it's church family or complete living family. So it's really sad for them at the moment. So please keep them in your prayers and help us to be able to send them a little bit more money. That would be a great help as well. Now, this week's newsletter, the only information we have is for you to give to other people, because we know that most of you this doesn't affect, but then I'm sure your children have best friends, and I'm sure the parents are being coerced by what they see on TV every day to get vaccinated. And we've got a large article in here called COVID Vaccinations for Children. What is the right choice? Top 10 reasons to stop, think and consider. And if you could pass that on to those in your vicinity, to your children's best friends, to help protect those children, that would be greatly appreciated. This was put out by the Children's Health Defence, the Australian chapter. So please keep all those young children in your prayers as well, those that have received the vax, because I know there's been a lot of adverse reactions that you can look up on the Australian websites for adverse reactions, and you'll see that they are quite numerous, the reactions, and even, you know, people close to me have had reactions from it. So please pray for the children and their parents. It's now time to pray for Yehovah's people, Israel. Abba Father, we thank you that you are Yehovah Zevaot, the Lord Yah of hosts. And as believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, we lift up our brothers and sisters to you this day, no matter where they might be in the diaspora or it's Israel. Abba, you faithfully preserved your people Israel through so many tribulations, whether it's from captivity in Egypt and Babylon, right through to this very day, especially your loved children in Myanmar. Abba, whenever your people have called on your name, you have delivered them. We know violence has been perpetrated through terrorist attacks in the diaspora and in your promised land. Abba, we just cry out to you for your protection for all of your people as these conflicts continue. Abba, we thank you that you remember your covenant with your people. We know from your word in Yekeskel that your people will live in the land which you promised your servant Yaakov, that they will live in complete security and safety. We also know that this applies to the lands where your people have been dispersed into at this time, and we claim this word for them as well. Abba, we pray for your healing power to be on those suffering post-traumatic stress disorder caused in any way by the terror in which they live daily, especially the children and the families of those in Myanmar. And we ask, Abba Father, that you'll be with them and with all those suffering from post-traumatic stress, especially those that have been to the wars in the Middle East over the past 20 years. Abba, we pray for your salvation of our brothers and sisters, no matter where in the world they may be living. Your word tells us that you want none to perish, and we know from your word in Yekeskel that you take no pleasure in the wicked person dying. Take pleasure in them turning from their wicked ways, humbling themselves, repenting of their sins, and making that 180-degree turn towards you and obedience to your Torah. And we claim that for them today. Abba, we pray that you'll send your Ruach Kodesh to have an encounter with them, as this is the only way you can heal them and bring peace to your promised land. We know, Abba, that it is your plan for all of your promised land, from the Euphrates River to the Vardy of Egypt, to be restored. Your word says your people will live in the land you gave your ancestors, that they will be their Elohim, you will be their Elohim, and they will be your people. We know, Abba, that it is your plan for all of your people, Israel, to be called to your promised land in your perfect timing. We pray against the agenda of mankind to cause people to go there under man's will and not yours. Abba, we pull down the strongholds of the enemy through anti-Semitism, which is increasing in the diaspora and in your holy land. We pray for the protection of all your people, no matter where they live on this earth. We pull down the stronghold of the enemy over your holy land. We ask that you break the power of the Iran leaders, Hamas, Fatah, Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as Al-Qaeda operatives. We break the power of the evil one who continue to work at wiping Israel off the map at this very moment. And Abba, we lift up Pastor John and his family of orphans through his ministry of Adonai Child Rehabilitation in Kalamayo, Salaging District, Myanmar. We thank you for Pastor John and his family, and the orphans are safe at this time. We pray, Abba, Father, that you can be able to just praise and worship you, even if they can't do it on Shabbat at this time. But we pray that for their continued protection, their health and their sustenance needs to be met, especially now that they have the 65 refugees from their family village that they now house and need to feed. Abba, you know their needs and you know their situation, especially how too dangerous it is for them to worship on Shabbat at this time. We also lift up the children to you, Abba Father, who now have gone 2 years and I've lost everything. 2 years without having any education. Abba Father, we just pray that you'll be with them, that you'll nurture them, that you'll protect them, and that you'll allow them to see that no weapon formed against them can prosper. We praise you, Adonai, that you've put the family together at this time, both families of both the husband and the wife. And Father, no matter what happens at this time, that they will be together and they all have you. But we pray especially that they will, this Sunday church, first day church as they call it, of the family members will come to know the Torah and come to know the blessings of Shabbat and come to know the obedience of Shabbat and the living according to your Torah as they are, you've put them in that place at this time. Abba, only you know what the end will be for them. Only you know the end from the beginning. But we pray, Abba Father, that nothing but good can come out of this time that they've got together, even though it is hard times. And we ask this all in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Adonai and our Saviour, who is the light of the world. Amen. Halfway through that, I lost everything I've got on my computer. Now I've got it back. Yep, I've got it back now, pal. Okay. But I prayed without my notes. Okay, Parasha 18 today. We'll be doing Mishpatim, or rulings. As Malachi said in the beginning, it was expected that Minister Yitzhak would do the drash today, but Yitzhak, we just pray that you'll get well and all your pain will be gone from your sinuses, and we just lift you up at this time. So we're reading from Shemot, Exodus chapter 21, verse 1 to chapter 24, verse 18. The prophets will be reading from Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah chapter 34, verses 8 to 22. And the Ketuvah HaShalakim, the writings of the apostles, will be reading from Matityahu chapter 5, 38 to 42. Matityahu 15, verses 1 to 20. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 to 23. Acts 23, verses 1 to 11. Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 to 22. And Messianic Jews, chapter 10, verses 28 to 39. So let us pray for Yehovah's word. Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, aher b'ka b'nu mikal ha'amin, v'natanenu et torato. Baruch atah Yehovah, noten ha'torah. B'shem Yeshua Mashikenu, Ha'ola Olam, Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the Universe, who has chosen us from all people and given us the Torah. Blessed are you, Yehovah, Giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the Light of the World. Amen.
These are the rulings you are to present to them. If you purchase a Hebrew slave, he is to work 6 years, but in the seventh he is to be given his freedom without having to pay anything. If he came single, he is to leave single. If he was married when he came, his wife is to go with him when he leaves. But if his master gave him a wife, and she bore him sons or daughters, then the wife and her children will belong to her master, and he will leave by himself. Nevertheless, if the slave declares, I love my master, my wife, and my children, so I don't want to go free, then his master is to bring him before Elohim, and there at the door or doorpost, his master is to pierce his ear with an awl, and the man will be his slave for life. If a man sells his daughter as a slave, she is not to go free like the men slaves. If her master married her but decides she no longer pleases him, then he is to allow her to be redeemed. He is not allowed to sell her to a foreign people because he has treated her unfairly. If he has her marry his son, then he is to treat her like a daughter. If he marries another wife, he is not to reduce her food, clothing, or marital rights. If he fails to provide her with these three things, she is to be given her freedom without having to pay anything. Whoever attacks a person and causes his death must be put to death. If it was not premeditated, but an act of Elohim, then I will designate for you a place to which he can flee. But if someone willfully kills another after deliberate planning, you are to take him even from my altar and put him to death. Whoever attacks his father or mother must be put to death. Whoever kidnaps someone must be put to death, regardless of whether he has already sold him or the person is found still in his possession. Whoever curses his father or mother must be put to death. If two people fight and one hits the other with a stone or with his fist, and the injured party doesn't die but is confined to his bed, then if he recovers enough to be able to walk around outside, even with a cane, the attacker will be free of all liability, except to compensate him for his loss of time and take responsibility for his care until his recovery is complete. If a person beats his male or female slave with a stick so severely that he dies, he is to be punished, except that if the slave lives for a day or two, he is not to be punished, since the slave is his property. If people are fighting with each other and happen to hurt a pregnant woman so badly that her unborn child dies, then, even if no other harm follows, he must be fined. He must pay the amount set by the woman's husband and confirmed by judges. But if any harm follows, then you are to give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, and bruise for bruise. If a person hits his male or female slave's eye and destroys it, he must let him go free in compensation for his eye. If he knocks out his male or female slave's tooth, he must let him go free in compensation for his tooth. If an ox gores a man or a woman to death, the ox is to be stoned and its flesh not eaten, but the owner of the ox will have no further liability. However, if the ox was in the habit of goring in the past and the owner was warned but did not confine it, so that it ended up killing a man or a woman, then the ox is to be stoned, and its owner too is to be put to death. However, a ransom may be imposed on him, and the death penalty will be commuted if he pays the amount imposed. If the ox gores a son or daughter, the same rules apply. If the ox gores a male or female slave, its owner must give their master 12 ounces of silver, and the ox is to be stoned to death. If someone removes the cover from a cistern or digs one and fails to cover it, and an ox or donkey falls in, the owner of the cistern must make good the loss by compensating the animal's owner, but the dead animal will be his. If one person's ox hurts another's so that it dies, they are to sell the live ox and divide the revenue from the sale, and they are to also divide the dead animal. But if it is known that the ox was in the habit of goring in the past, and the owner did not confine it, he must pay ox for ox, but the dead animal will be his. If someone steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters or sells it, he is to pay 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief caught in the act of breaking in is beaten to death, it is not murder, unless it happens after sunrise, in which case it is murder. A thief must make restitution, for he has nothing. He himself is to be sold to make good the loss from the theft. If what he stole is found alive in his possession, he is to pay double, no matter whether it is an ox, a donkey, or a sheep.
If a person causes a field or vineyard to be grazed over, or lets his animal loose to graze in someone else's field, he is to make restitution from the best produce of his own field and vineyard. If a fire is started and spreads to thorns, so that stacked grain, standing grain, or a field is destroyed, the person who lit it must make restitution. If a person entrusts a neighbour with money or goods, and they are stolen from the trustee's house, then if the thief is found, he must pay double. But if the thief is not found, then the trustee must state before Elohim that he did not take the person's goods himself. In every case of dispute over ownership, whether of an ox, a donkey, a sheep, clothing, or any missing property, where one person says, "This is mine," both parties are to come before Elohim, and the one whom Elohim condemns must pay the other one double. If a person trusts a neighbor to look after a donkey, ox, sheep, or any animal, and it dies, is injured, or is driven away unseen, the neighbor's oath before Yehovah that he has not taken the goods will settle the matter between them. The owner is to accept it without the neighbor's making restitution. But if it was stolen from the neighbor, he must make restitution to the owner. If it was torn to pieces by an animal, the neighbor must bring it as evidence, and then he does not need to make good the loss. If someone borrows something from his neighbor and it gets injured or dies with the owner not present, he must make restitution. If the owner was present, he need not make good the loss. If the owner hired it out, the loss is covered by the hiring fee. If a man seduces a virgin who is not engaged to be married and sleeps with her, he must pay the bride price for her to be his wife. But if her father refuses to give her to him, he must pay a sum equivalent to the bride price for virgins. You are not to permit a sorceress to live. Whoever has sexual relations with an animal must be put to death. Anyone who sacrifices to any god other than Yehovah alone is to be completely destroyed. You must neither wrong nor oppress a foreigner living among you, for you yourselves were foreigners in the land of Egypt.
should be another half of that.
You and you are not to abuse any widow or orphan. You are not to abuse any widow or orphan. If you do abuse them in any way and they cry to me, I will certainly hear their cry. My anger will burn and I will kill you with the sword. Your own wives will be widows and your own children fatherless. If you loan money to one of my people who is poor, you are not to deal with him as would a creditor. You are not to charge him interest. If you take your neighbor's coat as collateral, you are to restore it to him by sundown, because it is his only garment. He needs it to wrap his body. What else does he have in which to sleep? Moreover, if he cries out to me, I will listen, because I am compassionate. You are not to vilify the judge. You are not to curse the ruler of your people. You are not to delay offering from your harvest of grain, olive oil or wine. The firstborn of your sons you are to give to me. You are to do the same with your ox and your sheep. It is to stay with its mother 7 days, and on the eighth day you are to give it to me. And you shall be holy people to me, and the flesh that is torn apart by living animals you shall not eat. You shall cast it to the dogs. You are not to repeat false rumors. Do not join hands with the wicked by offering perjured testimony. Do not follow the crowd when it does what is wrong. Do not allow the popular view to sway you into offering testimony for any cause, if the effect may be to prevent justice. On the other hand, don't favor a person's lawsuit simply because he is poor. If you come upon your enemy's ox or donkey straying, you must return it to him. If you see the donkey, which belongs to someone who hates you, lying down helplessly under its load, you are not to pass him by, but to go and help him free it.
Do not deny anyone justice in his lawsuit simply because he is poor. Keep away from fraud, and do not cause the death of the innocent and righteous. For I will not justify the wicked. You are not to receive a bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of the righteous. You are not to oppress a foreigner, for you know how a foreigner feels, since you were foreigners in the land of Egypt. For 6 years you are to sow your land with seed and gather its harvest, but the seventh year you are to let it rest and lie fallow, so that the poor among your people can eat, and what they leave the wild animals in the countryside can eat. Do the same with your vineyard and olive grove. For 6 days you are to work, but on the seventh day you are to rest, so that your ox and donkey can rest, and your slave girl's son and the foreigner be renewed. Pay attention to everything I have said to you. Do not invoke the names of other gods, or even let them be heard crossing your lips. 3 times a year you are to observe a festival for me. Keep the festival of Matzah. For 7 days, as I ordered, you are to eat matzah at the time determined in the month of Aviv, for it was in that month that you left Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Next, the festival of harvest, the first fruits of your efforts sowing in the field, and last, the festival of ingathering, at the end of the year when you gather in from the fields the results of your efforts. 3 times a year all your men are to appear before Yehovah. You are not to offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor is the fat of my festival to remain all night until morning. You are to bring the best first fruits of your land into the house of Elohim, the house of Yehovah your Elohim. You are not to boil a young animal in its mother's milk.
I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you on the way and bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him, listen to what he says, and do not rebel against him, because he will not forgive any wrongdoing of yours, since my name resides in him. But if you listen to what he says and do everything I tell you, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and a foe to your foes. When my angel goes ahead of you and brings you to the Emori, Hittai, Perizzi, Canaani, Hivi, and Yavusi, I will make an end of them. You are not to worship their gods, serve them, or follow their practices. Rather, you are to demolish them completely and smash them their standing stones to pieces. You are to serve Yehovah your Elohim, and he will bless your food and water. I will take sickness away from among you.
In your land, your women will not miscarry or be barren, and you will live out a full span of your lives. I will send terror of me ahead of you, throwing into confusion all the people to whom you come, and I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. I will send hornets ahead of you to drive out the Hivi, Canaani, and Hitti from before you. I will not drive them out before you in 1 year, which would cause the land to become desolate and the wild animals too many for you. I will drive them out before you gradually, until you have grown in number and can take possession of the land. I will set your boundaries from the Sea of Suf to the Sea of the Palestim, and from the sea, the dead desert on the Euphrates River, for I will hand the inhabitants of the land over to you, and you will drive them out from before you. You are to not make a covenant with them or with their gods. They are not to live in your land, otherwise they will make you sin against me by ensnaring you to serve their gods. And to Moshe he said, come up to Yehovah, you, Aaron, Nadav, Avahu, and 70 of the leaders of Israel. Prostitute yourself at a distance while Moshe Moshe alone approaches Yehovah. The others are not to approach, and the people are not to go up with him. Moshe came to the people, everything Yehovah had said, came and told the people everything Yehovah had said, including all the rulings. The people answered with one voice, we will obey every word Yehovah has spoken. Moshe wrote down all the words of Yehovah. He rose early in the morning, built an altar at the base of the mountain, and set upright 12 large stones to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent the young men to the people of Israel to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings of oxen to Yehovah. Moshe took half of the blood and put it in basins. The other half of the blood he splashed against the altar. Then he took the Book of the Covenant and read it aloud, so that the people could hear, and they responded, everything that Yehovah has spoken, we will do and obey. Moshe took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant which Yehovah has made with you in accordance with all these words. Moshe, Aaron, Nadab, Avahu, and 70 of the elders went up, and they saw the Elohim of Israel under his feet was something like the sapphire stone pavement, as clear as the sky itself. He did not reach out his hand against those notable of Israel. On the contrary, they saw Elohim, even as they were eating and drinking. Yehovah said to Moshe, come up to me on the mountain and stay there. I will give you the stone tablets with the Torah and the mitzvot. I have written to them on them so that you can teach them. Moshe got up, also Joshua, his assistant. Moshe went up unto the mountain of Elohim. To the elders he said, stay here for us until we come back to you. See, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a problem should turn to them. Moshe went up onto the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. Maftia. The glory of Israel stayed on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day he called to Moshe out of the cloud, and he saw the glory of Elohim of Yehovah as fire that burned on the top of the mountain before the eyes of all of Israel, the house of Israel. Moshe entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. He was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Haftorah Mishpatim, Jeremiah 34:8-32. This word came to Jeremiah from Yehovah after King Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people in Jerusalem to emancipate them. Everyone who had a male or female slave who was Hebrew was to let them go free. No one was to keep Yehudite, his brother, enslaved. And when all the heads of all the people who had come into the covenant heard that each one was to set free his male and female slaves and not keep them enslaved any longer, they obeyed and released them. But afterwards, they changed their minds. They made the male and female slaves whom they had freed return, and they brought them back into subjection as slaves. Therefore this word of Yehovah came to Jeremiah from Yehovah. Here is what Yehovah, the Elohim of Israel, says. When I brought your ancestors out of the land of Egypt, where they lived as slaves, I made a covenant with them. At the end of 7 years, every one of you is to set free his brother Hebrew, who has been sold to you and has served you 6 years. You are to let him go free from you. But your ancestors did not listen to me or pay any attention. Now you repented. You did what is right from my viewpoint when each of you proclaimed freedom to his fellow, and you made a covenant before me in the house bearing my name. But then you changed your minds. You profaned my name when each of you took back his male and female slaves, whom you had set free to live as they wished, and brought them back into subjection as your slaves. Therefore, here is what Yehovah says. You did not heed me and proclaim freedom, each to his brother and each to his neighbor. So now I will proclaim for you a freedom, says Yehovah. For sword, plague, and famine, I will make you an object of horror to all the kingdoms of earth. As for the men who violated my covenant by not living up to the conditions of the covenant, which they made in my presence, when they cut the calf in two and passed between its parts, the leaders of Yehuda, the leaders of Jerusalem, the officials, the Kohanim, and all the people of the land who pass between the parts of the calf, I will hand them over to their enemies, hand them over to those who seek their lives, and their corpses will be food for birds in the air and wild animals. Zedekiah, king of Yehuda, and his officials, I will hand over to their enemies, to those who seek their lives, and to the army of the king of Babel, which has withdrawn. I will give the order, says Yehovah, and cause them to return to this city. They will attack it, capture it, and burn it to the ground. I will make the cities of Yehuda desolate and uninhabited. Jeremiah 33:25-26. Here is what Yehovah says. If I have not established my covenant with day and night, and fix the laws of sky and earth, then I will also reject the descendants of Yaakov and my servant David, not chosen from his descendants, people to rule over the descendants of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. For I will cause the captives to come back, and I will show them compassion.
Matthew 5:38-42. You have heard that our fathers were told, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but I say to that you are not to stand against evil, For who hits you on the right cheek also turns to him the other. And he that desires to go to court with you take your coat, leave to him also your cloak. And if a soldier forces you to carry his pack for 1 mile, carry it for two. He that asks you to give to him, and he that desires to borrow from you, you should not deny him.
The Perishim and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered together with Yeshua and saw that some of his Talmudim ate with unclean hands, that is, doing Nitlit Yadayim. From all the Perishim and indeed all the Yehudians, holding fast to the tradition of the elders, did not eat unless they have carefully given their hands a ceremonial washing. And goods coming from the marketplace they do not eat unless they are washed. And there are many other traditions that they also have received to keep, such as washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of beds. The Perashim and the scribes asked him, "Why don't your Talmudim walk according to the tradition of the elders? And why, while not having washed their hands, are they eating bread?" Yeshua answered them, "Yeshayahu the prophet did well to prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, that these people honour me with their lips, but with their hearts are very distant from me. And vainly they fear me while they are teaching the doctrines of the commandments of the sons of men. For you have left the commandments of Elohim, and you have embraced the traditions of the sons of men, the washing of cups and of pots and many other things like these." He said to them, "You well rejected the commandments of Elohim that you might establish your tradition. For Moshe said, 'Honour your father and your mother,' and everyone who reviles, that is, insults or rejects, his father or his mother, let them be put to death. But you say, if someone says to his father or mother, 'I have promised you a korban,' that is, as a gift to Elohim, that I might have used to help you, then you no longer let him do anything for his mother or father. Thus, with your own tradition, which you had handed down to you, you nullify the word of Elohim, and you do other things like these." Then Yeshua called the people to him and said, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand this. There is nothing outside a person which by going into him can make him defiled. Rather, it is the thing that comes out of a person which defile him. Anyone who has ears that can hear, let him hear." When he left the people and entered the house, his Talmudim asked him about the parable. He replied to them, "So you too are without understanding? Don't you understand that nothing going into a person from the outside make him defiled? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is cast out by excretion, which purifies all food. It is what comes out of a person that defiles him." He went on, "For from within, out of a person's heart come forth wicked thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, indecency, envy, slander, arrogance, foolishness. All these wicked things come from within and defile him." Acts 23:1-11. Shaul looked straight at them and said, "Brothers, I have been discharging my obligation to Elohim with a perfectly clear conscience right up until today. But the Kohen Hagadol, Hananiah, ordered those standing near him to strike him on the mouth." Then Shaul said to him, "Elohim will strike you down, you whitewashed wall. Will you sit there judging me according to the Torah, yet in violation of the Torah, order me to be struck?" The men nearby said, "This is the Kohen Hagadol of Elohim that you're insulting." Shaul said, "I didn't know, brothers, that he was the Kohen Hagadol. For it says in the Torah, 'You ought not to speak disparagingly of a ruler of your people.' But knowing that one of the Sanhedrin consisted of Zedekim and other of Perushim, Shaul shouted, 'Brothers, I myself am a Purush and the son of a Perushim. It is concerning the hope of the resurrection of the dead that I am being tried.' When he said this, an argument rose between the Perushim and the Zedukim, and the crowd was divided. For the Zedukim deny the resurrection and the existence of angels and spirits, whereas the Perushim confess all of these. So there was a great uproar, with some of the scribes who were on the side of the Perushim standing up and joining in. "We don't find anything wrong with this man, and if a spirit or an angel spoke to him, what of it?" The dispute became so violent that the commander, fearing that Shaul would be torn apart by them, ordered the soldiers to go down, take him by force, and bring him back into the barracks. The following night, Adonai stood by him and said, "Take courage, for just as you have borne a faithful witness to me in Jerusalem, so now you must bear witness in Rome." Messianic Jews, Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 28 to 39.
Messianic Jews, Hebrews 9:15-22. It is because of this death that he became the mediator of the renewed covenant, that he might by his death be redemption to them who had transgressed the first covenant, so that they who are called to the eternal inheritance might receive the promise. For where there is a will, there must necessarily be produced evidence of its maker's death. Since a will goes into effect only upon death, it never has force while its maker is still alive. This is why the first covenant, too, was inaugurated with blood. After Moshe had proclaimed every command of the Torah to all the people, he took the blood of the calves with some water and used scarlet wool and hyssop to sprinkle both the scroll itself and all the people. And he said, "This is the blood of the covenant which Elohim has ordained for you." Likewise, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the things used in its ceremonies. In fact, according to the Torah, almost everything is purified with blood. Indeed, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins.
Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 28 to 39. Someone who disregards the Torah of Moshe is put to death without mercy on the word of two or three witnesses. How much more do you think will receive capital punishment he who has trodden upon the Son of Elohim and accounted the blood of his covenant, which by which he is sanctified, as the blood of all men, and has treated the Spirit of grace in an insulting manner? For we know him who has said, "Vengeance is my responsibility, I will pay," and then said, "Yehovah will judge his people." It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living Elohim. But remember the earlier days when, after you had received immersion, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Sometimes you were publicly disgraced and persecuted, while at other times you stood loyally by those who were treated this way. For you shared the sufferings of those who had been put in prison. Also, when your possessions were seized, you accepted it gladly, since you knew that what you would possess was better and would last forever. So don't throw away that courage of yours, which carries with it such a great reward. For you need to hold out, so that by having done what Elohim wills, you will receive what he has promised. For there is so little time. One coming will indeed come, he will not delay. But the person who is righteous will live his life by trusting, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. However, we are not the kind who shrink back and are destroyed. On the contrary, we keep trusting, thus preserve our lives. Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Natan Anu Torah Emet V'Chayei Olam Batikenu. Baruch Atah Yehovah Natan HaTorah, B'Shem Yeshua Mashikenu La'ol La'olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the Universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. So this week you've got me again. So, I believe that what we've read today has put us in a place where we can look at the right things to do, because there was so much in there where they promised to do everything that Yehovah said but still didn't do it. And as we said in the finishing readings, that if we hang in there, if we are stick to what we believe and what we trust, we will be rewarded. So let us pray before I bring my message. Abba Father, I just thank you for the words that you've given me today. I pray that you'll open our eyes so that we will see the wondrous things from your Torah. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence. Because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer, and you are gracious in all things. I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. So, what I'm looking at today is, and I've titled my message, Checking for Cracks in the Foundations. We've all been raised differently. Some of us within Judaism, some of us within Christianity, some of us with nothing at all. But no matter where we've been raised, no matter how we've been raised, we are all products of that, and therefore they are our foundations of which the cracks in our life can come forward. So today I'm going to start looking at Acts 23 and verse 1 from our readings. And it says, Acts 23 verse 1, Shaul looked straight at them and said, Brothers, I have been discharging my obligations to Elohim with a perfectly clear conscience, right up until today. If we do just that, we are doing the best we can do. To me, Shaul was saying to the brethren of his day that he was a man of integrity. I love John Maxwell and his books. And he had one book called Developing the Leader Within You. It relates an interesting story, and it's the story about the Great China Wall, where the people wanted protection from their enemies. So in ancient China, they built a great wall. The wall was so high, they believed that nobody could climb over it. It was so thick that they believed that nobody could climb under it or get through it or break it down. So during the first 100 years after the wall was built, China was invaded 3 times. The enemy did not break the wall down. The enemy didn't climb over the wall. But what happened each time, they bribed the gatekeeper and then marched through the gates. The Chinese were so busy relying on their wall of stone, they forgot to teach their people integrity. They forgot to teach integrity to their children. We are living in a time where integrity, truth, and loving one's neighbour has gone completely out the window. We are being coerced, forced, and robbed of our livelihoods if we do not bow down to man in these unprecedented times. Today, my aim is to help you hold on to your beliefs, hold on to your integrity, and not bow down to the lies of mankind. So can we go to the next slide, please, in Mishlei Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. It says, the human spirit, or ruach, is a lamp of Yehovah. It searches one's innermost being. How do children reap the blessings of their parents' integrity. So let me answer that question for you. Children learn from their parents' example. You've all heard the saying, like father, like son. And I'm sure you've heard also the saying that the fruit never falls far from the tree. We are a product of our upbringing. And as Yekeskel says, which is usually spoken in a negative turn, from Yekeskel or Ezekiel chapter 16 verse 34, everyone who quotes Proverbs will quote this proverb against you, like mother, like daughter. This to me is why every child needs a good role model, especially as parents. They cannot be good parents themselves without these role models. Society today is all about robbing children of their role models, and even allowing children to sign consent forms for vaccines that parents do not want them to receive. Every child, every boy needs a father as a role model. Every girl needs a mother as a role model. People living in same parent situations do not get the role model of the opposite sex. And therefore, their whole life, their integrity of life is completely screwed up, twisted. It's just not what it should be. When parents plant good seeds, the children will reap them. In Tehillim Psalms or 37:25, it says, I have been young and now I'm old. How true. Yet I have seen the righteous forsaken. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Even though a child strays, which he or she probably will, especially if they go to university and they have humanism and all sorts of things pressed onto them, they should have clear guidelines and a conscience that will haunt and judge them as they travel through life. Hopefully this will encourage them to return to the right path, or not even stray from it, if we're lucky. Children enjoy the blessings the parents receive. I spoke only last week in relation to the giving of the 10 words, where children were commanded to honour their parents and the blessings will follow. We have also learned last week through scripture that what the evil men do because continues to live after them. In Shemot Exodus chapter 20 verse 5, we read, you are not to bow down to them, carved images, or serve them, for I, Yehovah, your Elohim, am a jealous Elohei, punishing the children of the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. And Yehovah continues this in Shemot chapter 34 verse 7, where it says, showing grace to the thousandth generation, forgiving offences, crimes and sins, yet not exonerating the guilty, but causing the negative effects of the apparent offences to be experienced by their children and grandchildren, and even by the third and fourth generations. And in Bamidbar Numbers chapter 14 and verse 18, it says, Yehovah is slow to anger, rich in grace, forgiving offences and crimes, yet not exonerating the guilty, but causing the negative effects of the parents' offences to be experienced by their children and even by the third and fourth generations. The opposite to this is also true. What good men do also lives after them. When parents live above reproach, as with integrity, their children can hold their heads high because of a righteous heritage. When reproach comes to the family, all are affected, and children bow their heads in shame, especially if their parents are affected. In Devarim in Deuteronomy chapter 5 verses 9 and 10, it says, "You are not to bow down to them, that is the graven images, or serve them, for I, Yehovah, your Elohim, am a jealous Elohei, punishing the children of the sins of their parents, also the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but displaying grace to the thousandth generation of those who love me and obey my mitzvot." I praise Yah that we are all part of that thousandth generation. If parents live in hypocrisy, the salvation of their child or children can be negatively affected. It can also impact on a positive way if they have a desire not to live like their parents. Some children may blindly follow their parents into negative behaviours, while others may choose never to be like their father, if a boy, or mother, if a girl. I have two sons of whom their farmer, my former husband, was a chain smoker. He would leave burning cigarettes sitting on tables, burning down benches, while he would light up another cigarette to have in his hand at the same time. My youngest, who was about four years old at the time, would tell his father that was dirty. Not that he was dirty, but that the cigarette smoking was dirty. Neither of my boys, now in their 50s, have ever picked up a cigarette. They made the decision in their own hearts, without any comment from me, their mother, not to take up that dirty habit. The things that are practiced in moderation today can be done in excess tomorrow. Parents who lift up a standard to illuminate the way, show their children how to walk the straight and narrow path, are the children who will live in integrity in the future. Shaul lived a life of integrity, blameless before Elohim and man. He walked and worked among men and with a clear conscience. Men of integrity possess a strong, upright and blameless character. Has been said, the measure of a man's real character is what he would do if he would never be found out. The habits and the framework of our lives should always be decent and blameless, because someone is watching us all the time. That is one thing I can honestly say that my parents taught me at a very young age. Yah watches over everything you do. You cannot hide anything from him. In another book of John Maxwell's that I liked was Becoming a Person of Influence, he quotes Philip Brooks, where it says that character is made in the small moments of our lives. Maxwell goes on to say, any time you break a moral principle, you create a small crack in the foundation of your integrity. And when times get tough, it becomes harder to act with integrity, not easier. Character isn't created in a crisis. It only comes to light in that crisis. When crisis and problems come, they reveal what we have become. We either become stronger or weaker in such times. Trials can become an opportunity that builds us up, or they can be temptations that pull us down. An accurate phrase depicting integrity is purity of heart. It is an essential quality for all believers and a necessity for leadership. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "How blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see Elohim." And in Mishlei Proverbs, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the duplicity of the treacherous destroys them." And again in Mishlei 4:23, "Above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences." One needs to make sure that you guard your heart so you will not muddy the waters of your life. No one likes to drink water from a contaminated, bug-ridden pond. It is easy to guard your heart, but it is much harder to accomplish it. I don't know about you, but to me, it is a daily struggle to maintain a pure heart. So I want to look at how we can do that. And I have 23 ways in how to maintain a pure heart with scriptures to help you do this. All the scriptures are in the newsletter. The first one is to love Yehovah and his people, which we sing here every Shabbat through the Ve'ahavta. So we have that message embedded into our beings. In Mark 12, verses 30 to 31, it says, you are to love Yehovah, your Elohim, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your understanding, and with all your strength. The second is this, you are to love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other mitzvah greater than these. Two, the second one is to discipline yourself to please Yehovah. Doesn't matter about pleasing other people, but pleasing Yehovah is most important. In 1 Timothy verses 4, 7 to 8 it says, but refuse unrighteous bubble misers. A bubble miser is Hebrew for an old wives' tale, or literally grandmother's stories. So refuse unrighteous bubble misers and exercise yourself in righteousness. For although physical exercise does have some value, righteousness is valuable to everything since it holds promise both for the present life and for the life to come. Number three, follow peace and holiness. And the scriptures for those are Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It says, keep pursuing shalom with everyone, and the holiness without, which no one will see, Adonai. And in Kefer Aleph, 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16, on the contrary, following the Holy One who called you, become holy yourselves in your entire way of life. Since the Tanakh says, you are to be holy because I, Yehovah, am holy. Focus your everyday life on Yehovah. That's number four. Colossians 3 and verse 2 says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Yeshua HaMashiach in Yehovah. Number five, pay attention to Elohim's word. Tehillim Psalms 119, one of my favorite psalms, says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Number six, hate evil. Yehovah hates evil, so should you. Then you will reap the rewards. In Tehillim Psalms chapter 97 verse 10 it says, you who love Yehovah hate evil. He keeps his faithful servants safe. He rescues them from the power of the wicked. And in Mishlei Proverbs 8:13, the fear of Yehovah is hatred of evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil ways and duplicitous speech. It's amazing. I read Proverbs and Psalms every single day. I love them so much. There's just so much in them that I get out of them. And just to live each day, my life each day. Number seven, think about the right things. Philippians 4 and verse 8 says, in conclusion, brothers, focus your thoughts on what is true, noble, righteous, pure, lovable or admirable, on some virtue or on something praiseworthy. Number eight, each of us must stay accountable to an accountability partner. Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's the leadership, maybe it's the best friend you have in your local shul. This is extremely important. I am and have always been accountable to Minister Maliki and to you, each and every one of you. You all have the right to pick me up on something that is not correct. This is the reason I tell you to check what I say. Just don't take my word for it. Even Maliki does that to find out that my knowledge of the word can be correct. Preserve the word of Yehovah in your heart. Study and memorize it. I am a firm believer in memorizing scriptures and having children memorize them as well from a young age. In Tehillim Psalms 119, this is one the same psalm I love again, verses 10 and 11, it says, I seek you with all my heart. Don't let me stray from your mitzvot. I treasure your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. As I said, I love this Tehillah. It has 150 verses, and every single verse speaks of Yehovah's word and being obedient to his Torah. As I spoke last week, every 8 verses begins with the same letter of the Aleph Bet. Excuse me. Speaking with the Aleph and ending with the Tav. Who was the Aleph and the Tav of our lives? Yeshua. Yeshua is the Word. He is the beginning, the Aleph, and the end, the Tav. 10. Remain in touch with Yah through prayer, through fasting if necessary, personal scripture study, and attending Shabbat services. I've always liked to tithe my time to Yah each day. There are 24 hours in a day. To tithe your time is to give Yah at least 2.4 hours, or 2 hours and 24 minutes to be precise, to him each day. I know people to go to work, and not all people are morning people like myself. But I would still and always start my day by spending at least 2 hours in the Word and praying first thing in the morning, and then spend more time in prayer before I go to sleep each night. Have you ever thought of fasting? If things are not going the best and you're feeling attacks from the adversary, fasting one day a week is not hard, and it can work wonders when you're trying to break through in prayers that don't seem to get answered. You can normally have a meal on that day. Use the time to get yourself a cup of herbal tea and pray. Prayer does not have to be a morning or a night time thing. I talk to Yah all day and whenever the opportunity arises. Even when it comes to getting car parks or going through lights to get to an appointment or whatever, I always thank him for giving me that smooth passage or giving me that park. I just talk to him as if I was talking to you or to somebody else. And that's how you should see him and see him in your day. Is someone you can talk to at any time, at any moment. Because he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So if you treat him as if he's sitting there beside you in the passenger seat when you're driving, or wherever you might be, squashed between two people on public transport even, he is beside you, he is there, and he will be with you to answer your prayers whenever you need him. Number 11 is, do not allow the root of bitterness to enter your life. Messianic Jews, Hebrews says in chapter 12, verse 15, see to it that no one misses out on Elohim's grace, that no root of bitterness springs up, causes trouble, and thus contaminates many. Are you aware that bitterness is the cause of many debilitating illnesses? To harbour ill feelings and allow the root of bitterness to permeate the mind and even eventually cause the bitterness to manifest in other areas of the body. It can manifest as aches and pains, lack of movement, in some cases arthritis. I have been through traumatic events in my life that could have made me very bitter. Through them I made a choice to be bitter. Through them I made a choice to be better, not bitter. It's just about changing one letter. That's the vowel I for an E. If I take the I or the self out of something to make it better, it makes me better and everyone around me better. And so it's just a simple movement from bitter to better is removing the I and making it into an E. Number 12, beware of the little foxes that spoil the vine. In Shir HaShirim, or the Song of Solomon, in chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "She catch the foxes for us, yes, little foxes. They are ruining the vineyards when our vineyards are in bloom." This is saying that do not allow the little things to come into your life that will grow into gigantic problems tomorrow. Deal with them straight away. Then let them go. Once you know what you're dealing with, act on it. Don't put it aside and think, oh, I'll deal with that later. I'll just pretend it's not happening. It is happening. It is real. And if we deal with it daily, when it's small, it will never get into something big. Number 13, be careful of what you allow to enter through the five senses. This is where television can come into your life and cause a lot of problems. This is what young children watching their videos and YouTubes and whatever's on at the moment. It can affect them because it's affecting their five senses. It's affecting what they see. It's affecting what they hear. And it's affecting what they touch, and it can even affect their taste and their smell. In Tehillim Psalms 101 and verse 3 it says, "I will not allow before my eyes any shameful thing. I hate those who act crookedly. What they do does not attract me." It's amazing how we can get so much out of each Tehillim. Number 14, we need to not just exercise self-control, but also apply it in the needed situation. And this is easier said than done for some people, especially someone like me who has so many sensitivities to the five senses that I can get into overload and need to get away into a quiet place, especially where my tank of tolerance is running low. I must confess that I have a low tolerance level for what I call incompetence, of which poor Minister Maliki wears the brunt of on occasions. But we need to turn to the Word when things like that arise. And we look at Galatians 5:22 and verse 23. It's the fruit of the Ruach, or the fruit of the Spirit. And it's really important to memorize this one. But the fruit of the Ruach is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility and self-control. Nothing in the Torah stands against such things. I have to really work on that daily, especially when it comes to self-control over things that I do not cope with. Number 15, deny yourself. Take up your execution stake daily. I also have to rely on this one a lot and not allow my standards to be put onto others. I do set very high standards for myself and my everyday living situations. Once again, Maliki bears the brunt of that one. I hate things out of order. I hate things not being put back where they were got from. I hate things being left on benches or left in places they don't want to be. And I have to really bite my tongue at times. Because my expectations, my standard of living is much higher than most people's. I can remember my own twin sister walking into my home over 50 years ago saying, this place is too pristine, I don't even know where I'm supposed to put my coat. Because she thought it was too tidy and too clean. But that's just the way I am. And Paul Malachy has to live with it because his standard doesn't come anywhere near mine. I've had to change, and I have. I have come down a little bit, but it's still difficult for me. In Luke 9 and verse 23 it says, then to everyone he said, if anyone wants to come after me, let him say no to himself and take up his execution stake daily and keep following me. Die daily to the flesh is harder for men than it is for women, especially as men are visual creatures. Women are more feeling where men are more visual. And in Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31 it says, brothers, by the right to be proud which the Messiah Yeshua our Adonai gives me, I solemnly tell you that I die every day. We have to crucify our flesh. And in Galatians 5:24-25 it says, moreover, those who belong to the Messiah Yeshua have put their old nature to death on the stake along with its passions and desires. Since it is through the Ruach that we have life, let it also be through the Ruach that we order our lives day by day. We have to walk in the Spirit or the Ruach. And we have to rely on that Ruach to guide us and direct us. Because that's what Yeshua said that the Ruach would do for us. In Galatians 5 and verse 16, it says, what I'm saying is this, run your lives by the Ruach, then you will not do what your old nature wants. And in verse 25 of the same chapter, it says, since it is through the Ruach that we have life, let it also be through the Ruach that we order our lives day by day. Going on with the same thing, excuse me, number 17 is to avoid the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Jochen and Aleph, or 1 John chapter 2 verse 16 says, because all the things of the world, the desires of the old nature, the desires of the eyes, and the pretensions of life are not from the Father, but from the world. And in Yaakov, James chapter 1 verses 13 and 14, it says, no one being tempted should say, I am being tempted by Elohim. For Elohim cannot be tempted by evil, and Elohim tempts no one. Rather, each person is being tempted whenever he is being dragged off and enticed by the bait of his own desire. To stay away from places of temptation is much harder here on the Gold Coast than it can be in other cities. We are classed as the tourist capital of Australia, so everything is set up to lure lure the young and the old alike into areas of temptation. We had the largest payout in a single horse race in Australia at the Magic Millions Racing Carnival. We have nightclubs, not just in Surfers' Paradise, but all down the Glitter Strip. Then by day there are the scantily clad women and teenagers, not just on the beach, but day and night in the streets. I'm sure that for many righteous men, it's hard for them to know to where to place their eyes, just to walk down the street, let alone walk along the beach, a place that Malachy and I rarely go to anymore. The lust of their eyes creates the lust of the flesh, and to succumb to the temptation allows the pride to come, and as the pride muffles the conscience into thinking that all is okay, when we all know that pride comes before a fall. It is much easier for men who live in India, Malaysia, Thailand, where the national clothing for women has them covered from head to toe in attractive, modest outfits that leave no room for temptation of the eye, which in turn radically reduces the lust of the flesh. Number 18, do not get involved in gossip or backbiting, because this pulls down integrity. In Mishlei Proverbs, or chapter 18, verse 8, it says, a slanderer's words are tasty morsels. They slide right down to the belly. And in Mishlei 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself out of trouble. And in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, don't be fooled. Bad company ruins good character. Titus chapter 2 and verse 8 says, let everything you say be wholesome, that an opponent will be put to shame, because he will have nothing bad to say about us. I don't need to say any more on this topic. To me, as the scriptures say it all. Number 19, flee from fornication. This should not need to be said, but sadly, so many believers do not see fornication as a sin, especially if they've been widowed or previously married and divorced. But that is not what the scripture says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20, it says, run from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body, but the fornicator sins against his own body. Or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, who lives inside you, whom you received from the Elohim? The fact is, you don't belong to yourselves. You were bought at a price. So use your body to glorify Elohim. And in 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, so flee the passions of youth, and along those who call on Yehovah from a pure heart, pursue righteousness, faithfulness, love, and peace. We have to resist the adversary, or Hasatan. It's number 20, getting to the end. In Yaakov, James chapter 4, verses 7-8a, it says, therefore submit to Elohim. Moreover, take a stand against the adversary, and he will flee from you. Come close to Elohim, and he will come close to you. Clean your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts. Our heart is the most important thing to purify, because it's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. It's out of the heart that the actions are performed. So we have to make sure that our hearts are pure. Know yourself and know your own areas of susceptibility. Everyone is tempted in some areas. Set a standard that is a code of conduct for yourself in accordance with Yehovah's word. This should be predetermined so that when temptations come, you've already made the decision what to do. Number 22, getting to the end. Remind yourself of your position in Yehovah. You are his child and a man or woman of Elohim. Yosef set the standard as he wanted to preserve his relationship with Elohim and his master, where he says in Bereshit, Genesis chapter 39 and verse 9, in this house I am his equal, that is his master's. He hasn't withheld anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against Elohim? For this reason, Yosef would not commit adultery with Potiphar's wife. And the last one, 23. When we are tempted, Yehovah will always provide a way of escape. We just need to look for it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you beyond what people normally experience. And Yehovah can be trusted not to allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. On the contrary, along with the temptation, he will also provide the way out so that you will be able to endure. This is a great scripture to teach your children to memorize, especially as they reach the teenage years. Peer pressure is so strong, and if they can use the words of Yehovah to help them resist that pressure, you as parents and grandparents who are listening in have done a great job. I want to conclude with this last scripture. It's from Mishlei Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 11. It says, he who loves the pure-hearted and is gracious in speech will have the king as his friend. King Yeshua will always be your friend. As I said earlier, a person with a pure heart and gracious speech is a person of integrity. You know that you can always trust them. Integrity can be likened to a new building under construction. It is built one block at a time. It becomes the building block of life. The proper decisions we make cement those blocks together of our character. Each time we fail in our integrity or fall to a temptation, the building is weakened. It eventually becomes unsafe and unusable. The world's largest bell has never been rung. It weighs 219 tons and is 18 feet high. During its construction, a single drop of water got into the mold. When the bell was cast, it cracked because of that one drop of water. What was the consequence? The bell was never heard. I believe Yehovah is building us into vessels of honor to be used for his glory. Make sure there are no cracks in your foundation. Allow your voice to be heard through your integrity in love. Stay true to yourself and do not give in to the mandates of man. May Yah bless you this week as you try to apply these principles to your lives. Thank you. Any questions? No. We will move on to the remembrance service. Just have a drink of water before I start. Here the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I'll make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they for their part violated my covenant, even though I for my part was a husband to them, says Yehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people.
See, Elohim is my salvation. I am confident and unafraid, for Yehovah Elohim is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Then you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. Victory comes from Yehovah. May your blessing rest on your people. Yehovah Sabaoth is with us, our fortress, the Elohim of Yaakov.
Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, hamotzeh lachem me'en ha'aretz. Amen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. Yehovah Sabaoth, how happy is anyone who trusts in you. Give victory, Yehovah. Let the King answer us the day we call. I will take the cup of redemption and will call upon the name Yehovah.
The cup of deliverance I raise in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I call Baruch Atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, Borei Pri Hagafen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, Borei Mini Besamim.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the various spices.
So we give out the emblems. Abba Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. We just pray that you will help us to show integrity, to show love, to show kindness to every person. Abba, Yeshua was our example, and he suffered far more than any of us could. We take these emblems, which represent his body and his blood, in remembrance of everything he has done for us. And we give you the glory for allowing him to lay down his life so that we could come into your kingdom, so that we could live eternally with you, knowing that you are with us, that you'll never leave us or forsake us, and that we can rely on you no matter what temptation comes our way. Now as we take these emblems and eat and drink together, we give you the glory in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Yevarekaka, Yehovah, Yishmerika, Yeh Yehovah, Panavaleka, Vyekruneka, Yisa Yehovah, Panavaleka, Vyasamleka, Shalom.
May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yehovah lift up his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Our Abba and Elohim of our fathers, we thank you for the joy and rest which we are enjoying on this Shabbat day. May the coming week bring gladness and peace, health and achievement. And like the fragrance of the Besamim, we pray the days ahead bring sweetness to our lives and the lives of our loved ones. May the rest which we are enjoying this day linger until we gather for Shabbat next week. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tamar. She does a great message, as per usual. And so many things to consider and bring to mind.
What?
You may have noticed that we didn't have any challah. I went to our usual Goldstein's Bakery Supply, and they had none. And then I tried to ring one of the other stores and didn't get through. And so we didn't have challah today. Although, probably from a health point of view, the wholemeal bread that we had, and multigrain and whatever, is probably better than white sweet stuff. Anyway, let me say, I don't think there's anything else we need to go into in details. I have yet to test out the identification being part of that vaccine control group. I think the strategy I'll use, I do have a page on my phone that's an extract from the Queensland vaccinations requirements, and it says for Schedule 1, so that presumably applies to any schedule below that, that if a person's a part of a control or of a trial or a control group. And I think the approach would be to go in and show them the section of the Act and saying that, in fact, it's not necessary for people that are part of a control group, and that I am part of a control group, at which point I can show them the card or the image of that, saying, and this is mine, and if you care to scan the barcode on it, you will see that it's an international control group studying, so that there is a control group that is not contaminated, it's a way of, or at least not protected.
Don't go
to use
too far
their
into
terminology.
It.
And
least you say, the better.
There. So we'll see. So bless you all, and thank you for being with us. Shavuot Tov.
Shavuot Tov.